You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
I have a very basic argument to make today. The argument is based on two propositions. I'll see if you track and agree with this. Proposition number one, life is hard. So can I get a mover, seconder? Everyone agree with that? Life is hard. It comes at you with relentless force. It is just, you know, those those inflatable punching clowns that you'd knock over and it comes back up, and then life feels like that, just like pound, pound, pound. And we keep trying to come back up again, but it keeps on coming at us. So life is hard. Proposition number two is we've got to find ways to cope. We've got to find ways to cope. And we try different things to get through life. We try relationships. We try fun. We try ambition. We try all kinds of things. Last week, we looked at some of them. Do you agree with that? It's like, how do you get through? Well, we look for meaning, or we look for pleasure, or we look for relationships. We look for something to get us through. That is really the main issue that we face in life. How do we deal with how hard life is in a way that we can keep going? How can we deal with the relentless pressure, the exhaustion, the stress? How do we do it in a way that we can keep going, that we can sustain ourselves and not give up? That's a problem we all need to answer. It is really, even if it's something you don't think about, it is something that is basically your life. On Friday, if you work a 9-to-5 job, on Friday night, you're like, woohoo, I have the next few days to be free, hopefully, of pressure and to find to switch into the stuff that gives me life. Tomorrow morning, if you're a Monday 9-to-5er, tomorrow morning, it's like, okay, life is going to be hard again, but I'm going to get through it because I'm going to get to the point that I love. Or some of you, it's the very opposite. It's like weekends, I live for work. And I work so that I can find meaning in my life. Well, that's what we've been looking at in Ecclesiastes. We're in the third week, and I want to give you a quick review of where we've come so far. So week one was this: life is a vapor. That's one of the hard parts about life. It is a vapor. It is something that you can't really get your hands on. It's very hard to pin down. And it's gone like this. Last week, we looked at the fact that, well, we need to find ways to make life work. And so we looked at some things that we normally try to basically find meaning in life. We looked at learning and pleasure and achievement, and we found that these don't work. And so this is where we are so far, that these are some of the typical approaches we have to finding meaning in life. And today I want to ask really how we get through life and how we cope with how hard life is. And today I want to look at the two chapters that we just read parts of, Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, because it describes two approaches to life that are really ways of coping with how hard life is. So here they are. I want you to consider which one or both represents you, and then we're going to look at a better way than these two ways. So here's approach number one for dealing with how hard life is: trying to control life. Our approach to life, because it's hard, is to try to mold it to our liking. We try to control life. Example of this is Julia Hurricane Hawkins, who took up running at the age of 100. She quickly racked up 3 world records by age 102. At 103 years old, last year, she won gold in both the 50 and 100 meter races. And she said when she was interviewed at 103 years old, "I hope that I'm inspiring others to be healthy and realize that you can still be doing it at this kind of age." She said, "Every day when you are 103 is a miracle." Well, she is an example of somebody who's trying to overcome the natural limitations of life. And I admire that. Julia Hurricane Hawkins. And we can all hope what to live to be 103. If you're doing races at 103, good for you. She would buy into the philosophy that the only limits in life are those that we impose upon ourselves. If you hang around very long, there's a lot of people in Toronto who believe this. Overcome the obstacles, basically impose your will on life. Nobody can define what the obstacles are. You need to overcome all the obstacles. And if you believe in yourself and push yourself hard enough, you can live the life that you want to live. No, don't let anybody tell you that you can't live that life. Seize control. Seize control. Well, Ecclesiastes 3 comes along. And Ecclesiastes 3 basically says this approach cannot work in the long term. Ecclesiastes 3 that Sally just read for us says there are limits. And one of the major limits is that there are seasons in life. There's a season for everything, everything. In the first few verses, probably the most popular verses in Ecclesiastes, the writer, the preacher, lists 14 areas of life in verses 1 to 8. And he says all of them, basically, there's going to be a season in your life for, your life is going to include all of these things. And basically, you don't get to control what season you're in. And so if you look at that, basically, he's reminding us God is in charge of your life and you are not in charge of your life. I mean, to give you a very example, the first example he gives is there's a time to be born. You and I did not choose when we would be born. We were not consulted on our birth. I mean, our parents went ahead. Maybe even some of them didn't plan that you would be born. But against your, you know, nobody consulted you, you were born. And he goes on to say, you know, there's going to be a time when you're going to die. Nobody's going to consult you on that day. Death will come to you if you're ready for it or not. You have no control over that unless you take your life, which isn't a very good idea. And he goes on and lists all these different areas that all of our lives are going to be full of. You know, there's a time to break down. And there's a time to build up. If you've lived long enough, you've been through periods of deconstruction in your life where things are falling apart and you can't help it. Things are just falling apart. And then you turn a corner and one day there's a season where things begin to look up and you've been longing for that day, but you can't control it. That's what the preacher is saying. God is in charge of the seasons of your life and we're not. There's a time for everything, but we're not in control of much of it. And if you didn't already believe that, after 2020, all of us should believe that. We are not in control of our lives. The in-between is totally outside of our control. As somebody said, the created world has a rhythmic pattern built into it, and our lives within this world experience their own regularities and cadences that ebb and flow with the rolling years. I know a couple, they plan everything, and I mean everything. When they go on holiday, the first thing they do is months before is they open up a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet and they plan their holiday to 15-minute increments. And so when they go on holiday, they're always consulting their spreadsheet to say, you know, what do we need to do now? We're 6 minutes behind, we need to get to the next thing. They map out every restaurant that they're going to go to, and everything is planned down to the minute. And it's not just their vacation. They plan their whole lives like that. And what Ecclesiastes is saying is this approach cannot work. You can plan all you want, but you can't ultimately plan how your life is going to turn out. There's seasons that are beyond your control. If you'll notice, all of these things add up to, basically, they cancel themselves out. You know, there's a time to be born and a time to die. The net result of that is zero. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. The net result of that is zero. They cancel each other out. And that's why in verse 9, the teacher says, what gain does a worker have for all his toil? Do you ever wonder that? When you look at your life, the fact that you're not in charge of the seasons, that everything cancels itself out, you work to get in shape, and ultimately your body breaks down. You work all your life to earn money, but then all the bills need to be paid. Ultimately, everything cancels itself out. You're born, but eventually you die. It all cancels itself out. And that's why in verse 9, the teacher says, the preacher says, what does that add up to? Verse 19, the harshest reality is this, that ultimately we die. He says, for what happens to the children of men and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so does the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast. All is vanity. We control less than we think, and ultimately it all adds up to nothing. Now, if you've been here the past couple of weeks, you know that Ecclesiastes can be depressing. But I think what he's saying here is he's really bursting our bubble of thinking we can control life and make it what we want to. He's saying the same thing. He's not trying to, this week he's actually got some good news for us. But I think he's pointing us to, if you're trying to control life, give up now because it's not going to work. He's giving us the bad news before he gives us the good news. He's really saying the same thing that James said, that you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're just a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes. And then James says, we ought to always approach all of life saying that if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Basically, we're not in control. God is in control. He gets to decide. Canadian pastor Mark Buchanan says this, I woke up one morning barren of fruit, bereft of joy, short of daylight. I could not shake it off. I could not make a thing grow. He says, I saw a counselor. I had people pray for me. I read books. I begged God. I faked it. Nothing ended it. And then one day God gave me insight. This was winter. It would end in time, but not of my own doing. My responsibility was simply to know the season and match my actions and inactions to it. It was to learn the slow, hard discipline of waiting. I want to ask you today, especially if you're a control freak, if you're trying to get through life's difficulty by trying to control life, do you see that it doesn't work? What season are you in right now? Your responsibility isn't to change the season. We can't do that. Our responsibility is to recognize the season that we're in and match our actions to it, to cry out to the Lord, knowing that he's sovereign over every part of our life, to release the burden of thinking we can even control our lives. Stop coping with the difficulty of life by trying to pretend that you're in control of your life. It just doesn't work. Okay, that's approach one. Life is hard, and so a lot of us try to control life. And Ecclesiastes is saying, hey, there's seasons to life. You're not in control of the seasons. They all cancel each other out anyway. Stop trying to pretend you're God. But here's the second approach that we often try. It's getting ahead. And this is what chapter 4 talks about. We try to beat the obstacles and get ahead of others. We try to cope with life being hard by getting ahead. And by the way, you can do both approaches. If you really want to cope with how hard life is, I mean, some people try to control and get ahead at the same time. If you really want a headache, do both. But in chapter 4, he says, this is how a lot of people try to cope with the difficulty of life. They try to get ahead. Chapter 4 is about me. My plans, my career, my desire to get ahead. And so in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4, he talks about people, powerful people getting ahead while others are oppressed. Does that sound familiar? Those who have a lot oppressing those who don't have very much, using their position to get ahead. That's verses 1 and 2. It's like today's newspaper. In verse 4, he talks about work motivated by the desire to get ahead of other people. Like if I work hard enough, if I advance and get that position, then I'll know I've beaten everybody else. And then I know that I matter. If I get this degree, if I am recognized for this accomplishment, then I'll know my life matters. In verses 7 to 8, he talks about people who never stop working because they're never satisfied with the light with what they have, even though it doesn't make them happy. Again, that sounds very relevant to today. I have friends who come into Toronto and they go downtown and they watch people go to work back when people used to go to work downtown. And they would say, people just don't look happy. What is it for? Well, I'm working so that I can have meaning in my life, but it doesn't give us the meaning that we're looking for. Please don't misunderstand what Ecclesiastes 4 is saying. It's not saying that work is bad. You were created for work. God, it was part of the original reason that God put us here on this earth to work. God has given us all. I mean, if you want a death sentence, retire at the age of 30 and spend the next, 40, 50 years doing nothing, it will drive you crazy. We were made to make a contribution to this world. But what Ecclesiastes 4 says, when we turn that in and we are motivated just by the desire to get ahead, to find meaning in life by trying to get ahead, it doesn't work. It leads to dissatisfaction. It doesn't give us the meaning we're looking for. Somebody said, busyness can be an addictive drug. Busyness acts to repress our inner fears and personal anxieties as we scramble to achieve an enviable image to display to others. We become outward people obsessed with how we appear rather than inward people reflecting on the meaning of our lives. Again, let me ask you, how many of us are trying to cope with how hard life is by getting ahead? How many of us are trying to push ahead of the crowd and make a name for ourselves and achieve success, thinking that that will give us the mastery over life that we're looking for? These are two very different but common ways to try to deal with life being hard. We try to control it. We try to work to get ahead of others. If you're really fancy, you can do both. But we're not in control, and Ecclesiastes says, working to get ahead won't ultimately satisfy us. There's got to be a better way. Okay. Ecclesiastes can be very realistic and very depressing. It isn't afraid to tell us the cold, hard truth. And as usual, today the passage has said, hey, guys, I've tried this. Just so you know, it doesn't work. But I want to point out that this week, there's actually really good news. Because instead of trying to control, instead of just trying to get ahead, Ecclesiastes points to a better solution that all of us can apply right now. And so let's wrap this up by looking at actually what Ecclesiastes says we can do instead of these things. Life is hard. What do we do to cope with how hard life is? Well, the first thing is this in chapter 3. Instead of trying to control life, enjoy it. Instead of trying to control life, enjoy it. Instead of trying to mold life to your will, receive it as a gift. Enjoy it. Where do I get this from? I love Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12. In the middle of this passage, basically saying, you can't control the seasons of your life. In the middle of all of that, he says, I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. And also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil. This is God's gift to man. Let me try to paraphrase what he's saying. Oh, by the way, chapter 4, verse 6, a very similar thought. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands of toil and striving after wind. See, here's what I think the preacher is saying. Look, if you want a child, and you've desperately wanted a child, I think what the author is saying is, look, you have no control over when a child is given to you. But here's what you do have control over. Enjoy the stage that you're in. And pray, yes, you can pray all you want that God will change it, but don't miss the blessings that you get to enjoy right now. If you're working right now, don't miss the blessings of that job that drives you crazy. You have no control how long the season will last, but don't miss the good things that God is doing in your life right now that you get to enjoy. Basically, the teacher saying life is full of good things and bad things. You really don't get to choose those things. You can choose, though, to enjoy all the good things that God is giving you right now. Choose. I heard this over Thanksgiving weekend. Somebody said, here's the secret to life. At least it's one of the main secrets of life. Choose what you've been given. In other words, whatever you have right now, if instead of complaining it, you actually choose it and say, I'm going to be grateful and receive it as a gift. Choose what you've been given. Instead of longing for a life that you don't have, enjoy the one that you do have with all of its challenges. Embrace life for what it is, not what you want it to be. I love the permission it gives us, by the way. Actually enjoy life. He says, nothing better for them to do than to be joyful. The Bible is not commanding you to be serious. It says, receive the gifts you have right now and enjoy them. Do good as long as you live. Take opportunity, the opportunities God gives you. Everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil. Friends, eat good food. If you have access to it, enjoy every bite. Take pleasure in your work. He says, actually, find meaning and contentment. You can't control life, so receive the blessings God has given you. And secondly, instead of trying to get ahead of others, in chapter 4, he says, love and serve others. Instead of trying to beat others, join them. Instead of trying to get ahead of them, love and serve them. In verses 10 to 12 of chapter 4, the famous verses, if you know anything of Ecclesiastes, you probably heard this maybe at a wedding at some time. Two are better for one than one in 4:9, for they shall have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and doesn't have somebody else to lift him up. If two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though one a man may prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken. In a chapter where the author is basically saying a lot of people are just trying to step on other people and get ahead of other people, in chapter 4, the preacher says, instead of this, why not actually love other people? Instead of seeing them as obstacles or people to beat, why not enter into relationship with them? The preacher is saying the value of life is not what you earn, but who you're in relationship with, who you love, who loves you. Your value, and we all know this, right? Your value ultimately isn't going to come from what you achieve with your life, as important as that is. It's not going to come with how much money you earn in the end. At the end of life, you're going to look back, and the thing that matters most is, who did I love? Who did I serve? Who did I give my life to? Who loved me? That's going to matter more than anything else. So the preacher says, look, don't try to control life. Instead, enjoy whatever season you're in. Find joy in whatever God has given you. Don't try to get ahead. Instead, focus on the relationships that God has given you. They're a gift. Enter into them, love people, and enjoy it. Instead of selfishness, isolation, and greed, lean into community, especially because life is hard. We need to know and be known. We were designed to live in community. There's such a relief in learning that we're not God. And then just simply taking the hands off trying to control, ultra control our lives, just releasing that burden, and with open arms, instead of trying to steer our lives like crazy, just receiving what God is giving you, including the gift of being loved by him through Jesus. in the gift of being part of a church family. He's given us a church family so that we could love each other. Even though your life will still be hard, right now, even in the middle of COVID, in the middle of whatever obstacles we're going through, he is giving us good gifts that we can receive. And all of this is an eternal, a taste of the eternal provision that he will give you of his eternal life and love. And so friends, how do we cope with how hard life is? Don't try to cope by taking control or getting ahead of others. Instead, cope with how hard life is by enjoying what God has given you and serving and loving others. And so, Father, whatever season we're in right now, help us to learn that you are in control. Pray that you would help us to find contentment in the life that you've given us instead of the life that we want. I pray that you would help us to move away from isolation and getting ahead. Instead, help us to love and move into community with each other. May we receive all of this knowing that you are our good Father who delights in giving us what we need. But we find in Jesus all that we need in this world so that we may enjoy you and your gifts, and most of all, that we would know you, the ultimate source of satisfaction. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.